welcome back to eBay the Right Way podcast. I'm Suzanne A. Wells, and in this episode, I'll be talking about how to keep your eBay business interesting and fulfilling. Hence the title, Does Your eBay Business Feel Like the Movie Groundhog Day, where you are just doing the same thing every day, day in and day out? But really, let's face it, anything you do every day can get boring, monotonous, and become a have to instead of a want to. So I'll give you some strategies on how to change up your business to help you stay motivated and engaged in the day-to-day of an at-home eBay seller. But first, I want to give you a few backstories. I have been doing some type of eBay business for almost 2 decades now and have tried everything under the sun. I figured out a few years ago that I just love being a picker. I love the thrill of the hunt. I love the rehoming process, keeping things out of the landfill, and just hearing from buyers that they love the item they bought because they used to have one and it broke, or it got lost, or burned up in a fire. Several of my buyers have had house fires and their things were destroyed, or even a flood. I had one lady who had so many of her treasures from the past ruined during a hurricane and her house flooded, and she was just thrilled to be able to replace some of those items. But being a picker for me is the most fun and interesting business model. But I want to go over some things that I have tried and my experiences so that you will know where I'm coming from, because picking by comparison is so much more fun and interesting than some of the other business models out there. So this is kind of a been there, done that sort of situation. I have been selling on eBay since 2003. In fact, March 30th, last week, I celebrated my 18th anniversary on eBay. And looking back, I see a pattern of changing up my business every 2 to 3 years to keep it interesting. I don't really have a master plan to change things, but the business organically evolves as new products and methods appear. So what I mean by that is something will come up and I'll start seeing what other sellers are doing and think, maybe I should try that. And I'll go off and try it, and then I can make my own decision if it works for me or not. And really, everybody should be like that. Try it for yourself and see how you like it, because one person's opinion is one person's opinion. And that's the beauty of eBay, is we can all do it differently. You can do whatever combination of things you like that makes you happy. So we're going to go back to 2003 when I first started and go over a typical day back then. Now, back in the early days, say 2003 to 2007, I was full on eBay all day, every day, in between being a single stay-at-home mom. I mentioned this before in another podcast, but my goal was to be a stay-at-home mom and be available for my kids. I had worked in corporate America and with some smaller privately owned companies enough to know that I was not cut out to juggle working outside the home, especially as a single mom. It was just too stressful for me. And the bottom line, I wasn't happy doing it, and my kids weren't happy. So nobody was happy with it. And you really do need great time management skills to work at home. You have to be able to focus on the work and be productive enough to earn a living. So I was able to time block and get in 8 to 10 hours of work a day. It was just all broken up throughout the day. And at that time, my kids were in elementary school. So a typical day went like this. 6 a.m. to 7:30 a.m., wake up, get kids up, get them ready for school, make breakfast for the kids, get them on the bus. First priority is get those kids to school. When they were in middle and high school, the bus came at 6:30 a.m., so the day started even earlier. And I know most of my listeners do not have little kids at home, but I'm telling you this because I want you to see how my day changed based on what I was doing. And when the kids were little, I had a very specific schedule that I followed so I could get everything done. Okay, 8 a.m. to 3 p.m., work on eBay. I would ship anything that sold, take photos of items that weren't listed yet, list some of those items, or go shopping for more items. If it was a shopping day, I would leave as soon as the kids were gone to school and get back just in time for them to get home. And I usually chose thrift stores that were pretty close to home because when you get that call that your kid is sick, you need to come pick them up, then I needed to be close by. Once the kids were home, 3 o'clock to 8 o'clock, we would do the after school snack, do homework, their activities, driving them to dance, football, basketball, all those activities the kids do that just dominates your time when they're little. Appointments, dentist, orthodontist, doctor, haircuts, dinner, baths, and getting the kids to bed. Also during that time, I was the neighborhood mom. I was the one who was at home. So a lot of times other kids were at my house. So I'm sometimes fixing dinner for more than just my kids or helping other kids with their homework because the other moms in the neighborhood worked. So I was kind of like everybody's mom. And that was fine with me. I wanted to be at home. Okay, after kids were in bed, say 8 p.m. to 10 or 11, I would get laundry done, work on eBay some more, photographing and listing, and then usually run out of steam around 11 o'clock. Now, my kids went to their dad's every other weekend, so on those weekends, I also put in a lot of time either shopping or listing and catching up and resting, taking naps, sleeping in, because I know this about myself. If I am not at my best, I cannot take care of other people. So self-care is really important. And it is hard to pull yourself away from work that you love to take time for yourself because eBay is very addicting. And I don't want to say I was a workaholic because it just didn't feel like work to me, but it can be addicting and you do have to take time out for yourself. So that was the routine for about 4 years. I mostly focused on selling clothing because that was the product most available in thrift stores. Now, on down the road, say about 2007, I heard about a place called Lingerie Mart in Atlanta that sold name brand, mostly Victoria's Secret, lingerie and swimwear at wholesale prices. And it was about 20 miles away, so I checked it out. And my thinking here was, oh, it'll be so much easier to buy multiples of something. Just create one listing, and you can have multiples of that item in different sizes. So this was before the multi-quantity listing, and everything had its own listing. So it got monotonous listing one-off items all the time. So I bought a few hundred dollars worth of swimwear, but it didn't really perform very well. And I actually ended up using it as a barter with the neighborhood teenage girls when they would babysit. Sometimes I would get a babysitter on the weekends the kids were home and, you know, run off to the thrift store and do my errands. And these teenage girls loved trading out for Victoria's Secret swimwear. So that worked out. I just figured out a different way to use that inventory to pay for something rather than selling all of it on eBay. And also during that time, my love interest was ex-military. He had served in the Army in Vietnam and also in the Navy during the 80s. And he just loved going to military surplus stores and looking around at stuff. So, of course, I went along and I found this fascinating. We both agreed that I could sell some of this stuff on eBay. And he helped me pick out a few things to try, including pilot helmet bags and some tactical gear. And those products did well, and I learned a lot by listening to his suggestions. Later in 2007, I got into selling on eBay United Kingdom. And here's how that happened. I was just minding my own business, shopping at a Goodwill, and I found a tube of Desitin diaper rash ointment at the thrift store, all mixed in that junk in the back. It was brand new. And I went home and started listing it and saw a bunch of other listings for the same product, but the currency was in pounds sterling. But the sellers were located in the USA. And I thought, okay, what is going on here? What's happening with this Desitin diaper rash cream? So after research and digging and asking around, I learned that because of the healthcare system in the UK at the time, some products are not readily available there in the stores like we see them here. The healthcare system required a doctor visit and a prescription for really common products that we get over the counter here. Desitin was one of them, Benadryl, melatonin, psoriasis and eczema creams, just a whole bunch of specialty products that we can get very easily here in the United States. So the light bulb went on there, and I started selling health and beauty products overseas for about three times the shelf price here. And I actually set up my store so that I was an order filler. I would go around to Walmart, Costco, Sam's, and take pictures of items that I thought might work in the UK, and then go home and list those items and just throw them out there and see what would stick, see what people would buy. So I didn't keep much in stock. It was kind of more like a catalog. And then when the item sold, I would drive to the store. Walmart was like 2 miles away, and buy the item using the customer's money and ship it. So this was great because I didn't have to keep a huge inventory. I was just an order filler. And every time I shipped an item overseas, I put a little note in there about, you know, what else would you like? Is there anything else you would want us to list in our store? So I got all these suggestions from the actual customers that needed products from the U.S. And really, you might say, well, you know, that's crazy. Why would they pay extra to have it shipped? Well, it's because they couldn't get it there. They had to wait for a doctor appointment and then hopefully get a prescription. And that could take weeks. So, you know, when your baby is suffering from a terrible diaper rash, you'll do anything to help that baby not be in pain and not cry all the time. So these parents were going on eBay and buying these things. And I was selling about 300 items a month using this order filler system. And life was really good. My profit was between $3,500 and $4,000 a month, all being an order filler and not even really keeping any inventory. But all good things must come to an end. And it all came crashing down in 2009 when too many other U.S. eBay sellers figured out the system. And on top of that, the exchange rates between U.S. and U.K., the pound sterling, fell. So the whole business just kind of imploded and it just didn't work anymore. And that's what happens sometimes with a business model is it works for a while, but things are always going to change. So that business really just fizzled out. But at that point, I was hired for the coaching position, helping people learn how to sell eBay through phone and Skype sessions. And I started selling on Amazon because it had just opened up to third-party sellers. So it really was one of those when God closes a door, he opens a window kind of thing, because these two things popped up. And so I went in that direction. And that was just perfect timing because the UK business was fizzled out. Okay, then a couple of years later, when drop shipping became all the rage, I tried that. And it was just exhausting. If you don't know what drop shipping is, that's when you don't actually have the product. You join a drop shipping site, pay a fee to access their catalog, and use their photos and information about the product to create a listing. Then when the item sells, you log into the drop shipping site and place the order and they ship it. And a lot of people new to reselling think that drop shipping is this magical answer to making money. You don't have to have the product. You don't buy the product technically until the customer pays you. You don't have to store inventory. You have access to all these thousands of products. But it really isn't that great. And I know because I tried it for a while. First of all, you have to do the research to figure out what you can sell for more than the drop shipper is charging. The whole point is to make money. And those profit margins are really razor thin, like $1 to $3, if that much. And it takes hours of time to find any products that aren't already saturated on eBay that will actually sell. So it's a lot of research time, and time is money. Then when you do find a product that will work, the profit margins are very small, or you sell one and go to order it through the drop shipping site and it's out of stock. So then you have to cancel the order because they don't have it or they don't carry it anymore. Or the drop shipper doesn't ship it on time or correctly. I mean, they really don't care because they don't have any skin in the game. They don't care what happens to your eBay business. They also do not ship internationally to military addresses or PO boxes, and some don't ship to Alaska or Hawaii. So your customer base is very limited. You have to put all that in your listing, and you can't ship anywhere the dropshipper doesn't ship. So it's just very limited, and you are putting your business in the hands of a third party who isn't going to give your customers the same service you would. You end up paying a monthly fee to access their catalog, and you might not find anything to sell. You might spend hours and hours looking and just nothing works. Or you have those out of stock or late shipment problems that are completely out of your control. So drop shipping was a big no for me. Okay, on to liquidation. I went in with another eBay seller on a pallet of shoes. We split the cost and we were going to split the product. And what a nightmare that was. The items were nothing like they were described by the liquidator. They were not the name brands we were promised. Some pairs had either two left feet or two right feet. Some were only just single shoes. There wasn't even a mate. Most of them were just filthy and smelled terrible and were not in like-new condition. These were supposed to be store returns or samples, but were not. So this was a case where we bought this sight unseen because that's how it worked at the time. You'd see a picture of a big pallet of merchandise. There's just a bunch of boxes and it's wrapped in shrink wrap, that stretch wrap stuff. And you couldn't tell what was in there. So it was a huge gamble. And of course, you can't return a pallet of merchandise to a liquidator. So we were just stuck with it. And I lost about $400 on that venture. So no more buying anything sight unseen. Well, then I discovered a local closeout store near me. And I tried going there to purchase some items to sell. I thought if I looked over the merchandise, I would be safer than buying it sight unseen. So I bought a bunch of water filters, the kind you screw on the kitchen faucet. And I tested one, and it just exploded everywhere. Just parts went flying all over my kitchen. And I was like, great. Apparently, these were defective and missing a washer inside, and they just weren't safe. So I'm like, well, fantastic. I can't sell these. This could very well kill a person or at least blind them for the rest of their life. And I'm lucky that didn't happen to me. But there's no way I could have known these were defective unless I tested it myself, because the closeout store was just selling them as is. They weren't testing them. So beware of liquidation. In my experience, it's a way manufacturers or retailers get rid of products they can't sell themselves. That's why they're liquidating them. So bottom line is, I have not always been a picker doing the same thing since I started. And I understand it gets boring doing anything exactly the same day after day, year after year gets monotonous. Even the shopping can get boring if you are always looking at the same kinds of products. And I never want this business to get boring because I love it. And it's been a part of my life for almost 20 years now. So when I feel the boredom start to creep in, I push myself to try some new things. Basically, when you're bored, the creativity doesn't flow. You aren't as productive, you aren't as focused, and you start to feel apathetic. None of those things will help you move forward. So you got to change it up sometimes. Let me give you a few suggestions for ways you can change up your eBay business as a picker to avoid burnout. The first thing you can do is work on the appearance of your office or workspace. Environment is so important when you want to be productive. If it's messy, clean it up. There are lots of resources online for reducing clutter and creating a fresh, energizing, and well-organized workspace. You will be amazed at how much more you love your business when your office is a fun place to go. You don't have to spend a lot of money. Clutter is energetically draining, so if your workspace is full of junk, at least put it in tubs, or better yet, out of sight if you can, in a closet, basement, or another room. And there's all kinds of creative storage. You can get those almost flat under the bed boxes. I used to put shoes in those so I didn't have to see them all the time. But there's a lot online where you can look at how other people do it so that you can get some ideas for how to make your workspace or your office, if you have a whole room, just a fun and energizing and creative place to go. The next thing you can do is evaluate what you're selling. Are you working with products that are interesting? Pay attention to how you physically feel when you are handling items, photographing, and shipping them. Do these items bring you joy? Are you imagining the buyer receiving the item and enjoying it? I physically get a stomach ache when I'm working with products I don't like or doing anything I don't like. I just can feel it. For example, shoes. And it's not because of that liquidation experience. I've been selling shoes almost my entire career on eBay, and I feel like I'm just burned out. I do sell a few of the profitable brands. Like if I see a really nice pair of clean Birkenstocks or Nayote sandals, I'll buy those. But overall, I'm just burned out on selling shoes, so I don't do it much anymore. I sold a pretty pair of Nayote sandals the other day for $45. I paid $3 for them, so that was a win. They were pretty, I was attracted to them, and it was a nice profit. But I just don't want hundreds of pairs of shoes in my house. And I really don't like looking through them at the thrift store. It's just not fun for me. So I scaled back on selling them, and maybe I have 15 pairs in my store. Not much at all. But a new direction I've started to go is plush. These are so easy to clean, photograph, store, and ship, and I just like working with them. They're like my little eBay friends. Usually the plush is $1 at Goodwill, and my target sale price is $30, so that's a nice profit. Plush is easy to ship, it won't break, it doesn't expire, and the characters my children loved are now considered vintage because it's over 20 years old, and I can recognize them easily. The other day, I sold a DW plush, which is Arthur the Aardvark's sister. And that's something I never see. And I knew as soon as I saw it, yep, that'll sell because there's just not that many of them out there. So if you're in that situation and you've got kids that are older than 20, the stuff they had is now vintage. And those kids are wanting to recreate the nostalgia they had when they were little. So that's where a lot of this is going, is to these Gen Y and Gen Z, I guess they would be, kids that watch the shows and the movies and want these plush characters. But just remember, it's okay to change product lines as you move along in your business. Your preferences will change. You will burn out with too much repetition. Keep your options open and try new things. Keep allowing your business to evolve. And if you try new things and they don't work, or you decide you don't like them, you can move on. This is your business, and you can sell whatever you want. You call the shots, and you can make changes when you want to. So when you find yourself thinking, oh God, I'm so sick of looking at this at the thrift store, or I just have way too many of that, mark it down, get rid of it, let it sell out, whatever you want to do, and you can try other things. Now, the next thing you can think about is, what is holding you back from achieving all you can with your eBay business? Are you bogged down doing things you don't like? Some parts of the business are a necessary evil, like bookkeeping, but as entrepreneurs, we all have to do that. This issue, what is holding you back, is usually not about time. It's usually not, I don't have enough time to do it all. It's more about time efficiency and using your time more wisely. Because you can do this business 24/7 forever and still feel like you don't have enough time, because when you're sourcing stuff in thrift stores, garage sales, estate sales, the stuff is never going to stop coming. It's never going to be about, I can't find enough, or I don't have enough time. The objective is to love how you spend your time. And one place I know many sellers are feeling stuck is with inventory creep. That is when you have way more inventory than you need, and a lot of it is not listed. It can become an overwhelming hoarding problem. Because when eBay inventory takes over your home, It can be energetically draining and cause friction between family members, and it can also be unsanitary if all that stuff's not washed or cleaned and it's just piling up. And what happens with inventory creep is usually one spouse will say, okay, enough is enough, and the battle begins. And it just creates an uncomfortable environment for anybody who's living in the house, because not only do you have all this stuff piled up everywhere, but you've got people in the house that are upset about it. So if you have inventory that is not listed, that really needs to be addressed. Those piles of things are piles of money. You have spent money on that stuff, and it cannot work for you. This is like owning a boutique, and the back room where customers don't go is full of inventory. How can customers possibly buy it if it's not listed? Unlisted inventory is a waste of your time shopping for it and money buying it. This is a really common problem, and if this describes you, the best thing you can do is stop shopping and tackle that unlisted inventory. And this takes discipline and planning. It's not just going to happen one day. You have to make a plan. If you stop shopping today and list 10 items in your death pile a day for the next month, that's 300 items. Just do the math. Figure out a doable number of listings per day and commit to a 30-day challenge of tackling those piles. And your next question is going to be, what items do I start with? The most expensive? The season we are in right now? The easiest to list? And really, it does not matter. Just start. This is about creating a new habit and getting all of that pile listed. And you can look back in 30 days and see your progress. If you are a paper or a chart person, which I am, you can keep a daily checklist or a chart if that helps you. And this really is about creating new habits with how you deal with inventory. If you tackle your piles energetically, you will feel so much better when all of your items are listed. You will feel like you have accomplished something, and your sales are definitely going to improve because you've listed more items. And if you need help with your eBay business or an accountability partner for daily listing, come check out my premium content library. I'm up to almost 400 videos. They're instructional in nature about all aspects of eBay selling. And I'm your personal help desk, so you can email me anytime with questions or problems, and I'm here for you. And I answer all emails. You are talking to me, not an assistant. My commitment is to answer within 24 hours, but usually it's much less. And it's only $20 a month for access to everything, not just the new stuff. And you don't have to commit to more than 1 month if you don't want to. So if you need an accountability partner, somebody to check in with daily and say, hey, I listed 8 things, I listed 10 things, I had a bad day and didn't list anything, I can be that person for you. Okay, this wraps up another episode of eBay the Right Way. Thank you so much for listening. I'm so honored that you chose to spend this time listening to my podcast. Because let's face it, the world is full of distractions, but you chose this podcast, and I really appreciate that. If you like these podcasts, please tell your friends and post in your groups. If that doesn't get you into trouble, some of those Facebook groups can be kind of territorial, so I get that. Again, this is Suzanne A. Wells teaching you how to do eBay the right way. You can find me on YouTube and Facebook under the same name. And be sure to follow me wherever you're listening as new episodes drop every Tuesday. Have a profitable and productive day on eBay. Talk to you next time. Bye.